She was sitting down.
But I was like, yes. I ran out of the hall. Do you want me to redo it? Right.
I mean, if you want to send it to me, I don't know what it is.
Okay. So,
how are you?
Good.
If I could have that
in
launch, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Will you stay in your seat?
Right.
I want to call to order the Fairfield Board of Education special meeting for April 24th, 2018. Present is Ms. Pitko. We are expecting Ms. Leeper, Mrs. Vitale, Mrs. Gerber, myself, Mr. Dwyer, Mrs. Jacobson, Mr. Asa, Mrs. Maxon Kennelly, and Mr. Peterson. If I could have you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. So tonight's meeting, of course, is limited to the Mill Hill educational specifications. I'm not going to try and update all of you as to where we stand with the various discussions with Board of Selectmen, Board of Finance, because I think you're all pretty much aware of it. Either you've watched it on TV or you've talked to people who have been there or whatnot. And so I thought we would just get into the meat of the issue. The only thing I'll say and then turn it over to our superintendent is that you can't take action unless you've put a motion out there indicating to the public that you might take action. So this recommended motion doesn't mean it's recommended. It just, that's the form that we have. It just allows us, if we choose as a board, to make a change in the currently adopted ed specs and mostly related to the number of classrooms, we could, in the rather phrase that says, and make other revisions as may be determined following board discussion. I will say, even though I put that phrase in there, there's no preconceived changes that I'm aware of that we should be making, but I wanted to allow the potential that through board discussion, one of you or several of you would want to suggest something. So this is only there to allow us, if we so choose, to take action. Otherwise, it would just be a discussion item. So having said that, let me turn the meeting over to Dr. Jones.
Just two things. I did send out the map of Holland Hill because I thought that would be helpful just for people as a reminder to know what new construction looks like there for a 504. And then also took the ed spec and mapped out Mill Hill, looking at the size of spaces that would be necessary for things like a Spanish office. You know, is there a small space that already exists that you could utilize for that? Just to give you an idea of what a 441 looks like, because that's one of the questions that we had. One of the questions that was sent to me after this went out was, what does a 504 look like? Well, when you look at this map and what's circled in pink, which is new construction, you would add three more classrooms. So it would go from 21 to 24. Now, the clarification we were able to get today, which was great, we did send out to you in a memo, but obviously it came late today by the time you got it, so I don't want to assume everybody had a chance to read it, but we did make a copy for you. And basically what this says is that if the Board of Ed wants to recommend that the Board of Selectmen just approve the language that was put forward by the Board of Finance, that our ed spec is fine and that language is fine to move the project forward, that we don't need to rewrite anything. One of the things we were concerned about was what gets submitted, but this is just the planning phase. What is important is before 2019 that the language in the ed spec will need to match what's in the resolution. But we don't really have to worry about that at this point in time. And the recommendation would be that we go forward and ask the Board of Selectmen to approve the language as it's written and move forward with the project.
And let me just clarify, the bond resolutions that are there now relate to the $1.5 million, not to the eventual project. So next June, while there'll be similarly worded resolutions, because they're kind of standard from the state, there'll be a new set of three resolutions that will be required for us, the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Finance and the RTM, to move the project forward. That our ed specs and those resolutions need to be in conformance is the goal during this planning phase. What this memo says is that the state said, so you've got different numbers in there. That's part of planning. So anything else that you want to comment on?
No, I mean,
so
that
your recommendation at the moment is what?
My recommendation would be to stay with the ed spec the way that it is and look at the 504, 441. And I think the board, at least from the majority of comments that I have seen, were not in favor of a 378 because our enrollment projections, we would be full. We would be over capacity. So you're really just talking about the 441 or 504. The ed spec says 504, and we can still have an architect look at what does that mean to add three additional classrooms and be able to cost that out. So by the time you get through the planning process, we have a good solid answer.
So, Jeff, Mr. Peterson, I think I saw your hand go up.
This might be a question more for Mr. Cullen, but obviously the timetable is tight. If we're talking about the site survey, which kind of really is the big variable here in terms of the kind of footprint that a school can have, by the time we need to do this again and put in final language, are we going to have enough time? I guess that would be my logistical concern. Mm-hmm. Just to throw that out, I'm not sure I need an answer right now. But.
No. So while Mr. Cullen comes in, government does work a little slower than private enterprise. And so you can have 11 to 14 months between establishing a building
right.
committee and getting decent schematic plans that can be estimated. And so we are right on the edge of being able to make it happen as long as the building committee is chaired by somebody who knows how to push a building committee. and so we are on the edge. I think, is it still doable? Yes, but if it dragged out another couple of months, Mr. Collins,
yes,
you wanna...
you're correct. It is doable. The timelines we gave you included the project team's work for that site, so that would include all of that. All the schematic design, environmental work, borings for the soils, hopefully a traffic study, all that's in the $1.5
million. Mr. Asa.
I've got a whole bunch of things, but I just want to start with this since we're on the topic. So the Board of Finance made it clear that they wanted these options. The Board of Selectmen, to me, my interpretation, made it clear that regardless of which way we go forward, they want a, quote, plan, a plan of action. And they made it clear that we had represented that overcrowding and whatnot is an issue. So they brought up the whole concept of redistricting, which is a hot topic. So my question is, even if we changed the numbers tonight regarding a timeline, what is our plan of addressing them with regards to their questions? Because at the end of the day, if we go back to them, and let's say we go back to them at 504 or 441 or whatever, and they come back and they say, okay, let's say we hypothetically change it to 441, and they say, okay, what's your plan? What are you going to do? Because it seems like they were just beating and beating and beating that point. What's to say that they don't approve and vote this, and because we haven't come to them with, you know, a plan? And this might be an open-ended question, but I think it's worth exploring because I would hate to go back to them and then just go in this circle and see. So where are we at with their plethora of questions that they had that Mr. Cullen wrote down?
I can
Tom,
answer
do you,
if you want
to talk about that for a moment?
Yeah, the superintendent and I.
The list of questions, which is one set of topics, and where we stand with the redistricting is a separate topic, if you will. But on the questions that they seem to say we have outstanding.
The superintendent and I talked about it and how we're going to approach answering the Board of Selectmen's list of questions. And we thought if we got feedback from this board on what size capacity the building was, the difference of what the Board of Finance approved for a resolution, and the answers that it doesn't have to match the ed spec at this time, that would be one piece of it. And that we would sit down and start talking about do we share the redistricting zoning map that Malone and McBroom did that shows Mill Hill needs to be a 504, and then you can start moving kids around to answer the question of what is the plan for the whole district and many of the other questions we wrote.
Okay, so trust me, I don't really like the idea of other town bodies trying to do the Board of Ed's work and telling us how to do our job.
Mm-hmm.
I get why there are some concerns, and I get a lot of points that they've made. But at the end of the day, you know, they have the 2016 report, but they're still saying they want a plan of action. And I guess my concern is, how do we go to them with a plan of action? Even if we were to come up with a redistricting plan that's hypothetically years out, we can't rely on that. By the time it's time to implement, it's no good. So I think what we need to focus on is going to them and saying, okay, if we're going to go with a 504, we need to be clear, and they need to know that we're all clear and in at least a two-thirds majority of what we plan to do. So my philosophy is, all along, I've been in support of a 504 school. My reasoning isn't necessarily because I want it to be able to redistrict today or pocket redistrict or solve Sherman's overcrowding. I'm looking at it more from a long-term perspective and having flexibility. So when we look at the numbers for the next 10 years and we look at the different schools and we look at the projection numbers, it's not like we have a ton of space. So at least in the schools that border Mill Hill and follow that feeder pattern. So my concern is, not my concern, but my suggestion is that we all get on the same page and decide, what is our plan with this? Is it because we plan to redistrict? Is it because we plan to solve overcrowding that is happening now? Or is it because we want to be able to have the flexibility that we've discussed for years prior to when I was on the board to have this space, and if down the road, 5, 6, 7 years ago from now, when you look at projections, let's say we built this school to a smaller scale, how are we going to shift? Okay, what would be our plan? And to me, that brings back the whole topic of pocket redistricting. And this board has been mostly against that idea. However, I think If we're going to build this school to a size and we're going to say we're going to solve overcrowding, to do a top-to-bottom redistricting for this purpose, I think is a little, it's very tough. So what if we look at this, and I'm just asking the question, what if we look at this from a non-racial imbalance issue, and we're looking at it from two different ways? We're looking at this as a facilities planning issue, as a space use issue, as a flexibility in the future, and the racial imbalance is something separate. And we're tackling this right now, and we're going to tell the bodies why we're building this school this way. And if it doesn't include, you know, racial imbalance, then we handle this now. And then the racial imbalance continues to be a topic that we work on. And if one day we got to a point where we did have to redistrict from top to bottom, we look at the space we have. But I think what we're doing is we're trying to meld a couple different things, and I think it's created some confusion amongst some of the other bodies. And now they're telling us, okay, you want to solve overcrowding and racial imbalance, so we want this redistricting plan. So I guess as a board, I think we need to come up with a way to figure out how we can address this. And if we are going for a 504, decide definitively why.
I think Mrs. Grover wanted to make a comment.
Well, I did, and I guess one thing I just wanted to hand these out. I spent most of today going through all of the enrollment projections that Malone and McGroom did for the next 10 years. And so the first page here is just showing.
Did you send it in that direction?
I did, yeah. Is showing where Mill Hill would be if it was a 504, if it was a 441, and if it was a 378. I don't think anyone here is in support of a 378, but I just wanted to put it down there since the Board of Finance had specifically referenced it. So you just kind of see where that is. So that's the first page. And then here we've got these planning principles, which, you know, we all know, but it's kind of good to read them just to show and remind, I think, the Board of Finance and the Board of Selectmen how many different ways this project will fulfill these planning principles, which were approved by the Board of Education in 2010. None of us were on the board at that time, but it was spearheaded by the Facilities Committee, Tim Carey, John Mottola. They brought it to the board, it passed, and that's been what we've used as our guiding principles. So I think it's important to remember that. Then the third page here, I thought since we have Riverfield, Dwight, and Sherman are the three schools that border Mill Hill, and they also feed into the same middle school, it would be helpful just to see where they are in terms of their capacity numbers. So I went through these again, are just Malone McBroom's numbers that I pulled from directly from their report. It just shows where they are in terms of their capacity, how many sections they have, and so you just kind of get a sense of where they are going to be for the next 10 years. Because obviously, if we are to even consider redistricting, at least my thought would be it would be to one of those three other schools, because we're not going to want to have to send them to North Stratfield or start messing with the middle or the high school feeder if we can avoid it. So I just thought this might be helpful for us to look at, and I'm sorry I didn't make more copies. My printer was acting up, but I'm happy to share this or provide more copies. We could put it on the website if people would like. But I just think maybe this might be helpful to show to the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Finance as well, because these numbers are persuasive. And they, first of all, they're very persuasive in showing that 378 should not even be part of the conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, if we do 378, Mill Hill will be between 96 and 102% capacity, and that would be completely renovated. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at any point to build a school to 96 to 102% capacity, in my view at least. But in any event, I just wanted to share this before we had any more discussions, just because I thought it might be helpful.
At the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Finance meetings, I have been very clear that they are conflating two issues, racial imbalance and redistricting. Set aside racial imbalance, we still have overcrowding at two of our schools, and over time there's a variance from 77% at Jennings to 110% some other school, and that we ought to be looking at a comprehensive redistricting. The second point I've made to both bodies is that you can look at it conceptually, but it would be unfair to parents to suggest that we've adopted one plan or another. For those of you who have been around when we did the redistricting for the middle schools, that was just, you know, like the middle school, and they had eight different configurations. And so the idea of trying to create different configurations for a plan that you knew would not be implemented for several years doesn't make sense. I agree with Mr. Ace's comment that the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Finance, or the RTM, should not be engaged in approving a plan that seemingly gives them the authority to approve a redistricting plan. It's hard enough to get nine people to say, here's what really, in all fairness, should happen, knowing that somebody will always be mad. But to get four different political bodies to weigh in on a redistricting plan, would be nigh on to impossible. So I've been very clear with them, but as much as I've been clear with them, they continue to conflate the two ideas. Mrs. Gerber, and then I'll go back to Mr. A.
Well, Mrs. I think Gerber. I just want to touch really quickly on the idea of redistricting. First of all, to have a redistricting plan on elementary level is really difficult because once you get beyond 1 year, you're dealing with more and more projections. You know, any year, you're going to have at least 1 year's worth of projections. That'll be the kindergarten class that's coming in. But each year forward, you're going to be looking at projected for kindergarten, first, second, third. So, I mean, the numbers we got from Malone and McBroom were from 2015. Those children are in middle school now. So it really doesn't make sense to do that. When they did do the middle school plan, they had 6 grades worth of student information. They had K through 5 that they could work on. Mm-hmm. So it was much more easy. I will say, however, that when Woods was approved, they were not required to provide a redistricting plan before the approval. Correct. Nor were they for Burr, nor were they for Stratfield, nor were they for Holland Hill. So I just find it odd and rather frustrating that the other town bodies are requiring that we give them a redistricting plan when it has never been required before, and when, because we were talking about elementary school, it would be an exercise in futility because the numbers wouldn't work and we would have to redo everything a year before the school reopened. So I just think maybe we should try to make that more clear because obviously people aren't hearing it and it's very frustrating.
Do you mind if I go to Mrs. Maxim Connelly first, or do you want to follow up on something that Mrs. Gerber said?
First, thank you for these numbers because these are very persuasive. And the third page, very much so, because when you look out, and there's been open discussion at other town bodies on seats being open at Riverfield. When we look at these numbers, we're at 90% capacity in a couple years, and that is our benchmark of not to go over. So that's where we want to be. That being said, with these numbers here on the first page, at a 441, let's say, you know, 82, 83, 83, 83, 85, 87, 87%, now I can kind of see why several years ago the board went to the workshop and proposed Mill Hill to be a 441 and Holland Hill to be a 462. So just throwing it out there for discussion, and maybe this will lead to a hot discussion, but what if we were to go back to the board of selectmen and say, no, we don't plan to redistrict. That is not our plan. That we are building the school because it needs to be renovated, and we are talking about a couple extra classrooms for flexibility, and that if this board were to decide to lower the scale, absolutely I would say we don't need a redistricting plan because that's not what we're doing here. Now, we still have an issue at Sherman, but that's something that I'd like to explore further down the road. But just throwing it out there, maybe one of the things that we do is not talk about redistricting. Now, we've kind of gone down that road, and we've presented it that way, but I'm just throwing it out there.
Mrs. Maxim Connelly.
A few things. First of all, it's looking at my notes. The good news about all of this is that no one's questioning the renovation or that the need for it. So that all 3 out of 4 town bodies have had a chance to voice in that, and that at least there's, you know, that's not an issue. So, you know, check on that one. That said, I can't agree more that I think we simply hold the course on, because that's where I believe Dr. Jones and Mr. Dwyer have spoken very well to the point of, we're not gonna get backed into a corner. It is completely inappropriate several years out to propose a redistricting plan. You know, Mrs. Gerber and I have talked about this a few times and, you know, captures very well the whole notion of all it's going to do is get people upset. And then it could change that either would get people more upset, less upset, new people upset, you know. It's completely inappropriate to the point of verging on unethical, I think, for us to irresponsibly propose a definitive plan at this time. And with that said, nor would I exactly support what Mr. Ace said. I don't support the idea of saying, no, we won't. If something needs to be done, something needs to be done. We're not deciding it now because we know we are dealing with a space issue at Mill Hill. It's going to change in whatever regard because I don't think anyone supports a 378. And so it's simply, you've said it many, many times, and I think we can only keep saying it. It's inappropriate at this time to say anything specific about that. We acknowledge it very well may be needed. We are open to that, but we're not going to get into the specifics until we have specific numbers and a known school size. But I do appreciate the only part of me that's appreciated why there would be some push on us for a plan is because this is one of the only times we've ever proposed a renovation and addition that involves not the needs solely of the Mill Hill community. You know, when we pushed for the renovation at Stratfield, we had the bodies in Stratfield that warranted that increase. I mean, it was just busting at the seams. All portables filled, cafeteria filled, it was crazy. Holland Hill warranted, but even that one was beginning to verge on beginning to address issues in the neighborhood. Mill Hill were up front that we are planning for a school to address the needs of the district. So that's the one part of me that's sympathetic to why we're being asked by the Board of Selectmen. That said, it's simply premature. But I had a follow-up to Mrs. Gerber, so I'm going to hand this out. And I apologize that I didn't get this to you ahead of time. This is so hot off the presses, I couldn't finish it. In fact, the only reason it looks as good as it does is because Mrs. Gerber helped me, and I still couldn't get it done. So.
And when Mrs. Maxon-Cannelli finishes, we have at least four board members who have not spoken yet. We have a short time frame, so I wanted to make sure that if there's somebody that wants to speak up well, not just yet. Let me get
Mrs. I know. I'm just letting you know that.
Okay, so you're next.
Okay. Unfortunately, the part of this which I was not able. What? Am I one short?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, these are not two of the same.
Okay, wait.
The most important part, quite frankly, is the bottom. To finish the bottom across, I will get this done, and I will get it out complete, and then, you know, for what it's worth. But when we talk about Mill Hill servicing not just the needs of the Mill Hill community, but of the district, then it makes sense to look at our utilization rate with those four schools in mind. And that's what I need to finish down at the bottom. So I'd just like to draw everyone's attention to the first year, which is also when enrollment is at its lowest, prior to the upswing, and look at what you have here. That when we look at Dwight as a 378, which even in and of itself is misleading, because while it has 18 general ed classrooms, it's actually 17 in use because one is a CLC. Riverfield being called a 504, because it has the 24 general ed classrooms, but in fact one classroom next year is turned to a CLC. Sherman with their 22 general ed classrooms with the 6 classroom annex, and then the 3 options for Mill Hill. So if you combine total the population of those 4 schools in 2020-2021 projected, that's 1599. When you consider the capacity, if Mill Hill were at a 378, it is already at a 95% capacity for the 4 schools. Mill Hill at a 441 would be at 92%. Mill Hill at a 504, 89%, which is precisely what we strive for. And this is the year in which the population is at its lowest. And so that when we talk about making a value argument for why we need the 504, once I saw this, I mean, this is kind of what we always talk about. We say we need space, we need swing space. We may find that these CLCs are such a success, we want to add more, or whatever the needs may be. Not only swing space, we're talking about the space to educate at the utilization rate that we have always said we strive for. Looking at these 4 schools as an area, again, granted that Sherman extends quite a bit east, but to me this was a very compelling argument for staying the course with 504, with the numbers to prove what many of us have alluded to, which is that area of town needs more classrooms. And so again, I apologize that I did not finish this all the way across. I will get it done. That's what the coffee's for.
We'll give you an extension on your homework.
Thank you. I've been living on exceptions.
So you're...
You're done, Mrs. Maxinelli?
Yes.
Okay. Mrs. Jacobson?
So in anticipation of your completion, based on your comments, you're looking that this would increase, actually, over time. Right.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you. Okay. Can I continue on with
please,
my...
Please okay. do. You have the floor.
Thank you. I have a lot of thoughts and input on what's happening here, and I appreciate my colleagues' comments so far and look forward to hearing from everyone else. You know, I think this board has already spoken. We already took a vote on the ed spec. So I'm not sure why a motion was proposed, other than I understand what you were saying, Phil, about just so we could have the discussion. So I certainly appreciate that. But I already took a vote on the ed spec. So I've already thought about this. We've all been involved in this in a very long time. The project's been on the waterfall. We have our planning principles. We have a long-range facility plan. Our previous boards and this board's for a long time have done their due diligence. And I think that other boards in the town trust that we know what we're doing a little bit. Now, in order to be respectful to the Board of Selectmen, I did go down to Town Hall because they want to see a plan, and I feel exactly the same way as everyone else does. We know that it cannot be done with any fidelity this far in advance, and I too have a handout. So I did utilization rates. In my little piece of this was for Malone and McBroom. In 2016, what they projected our utilization rates to be across all schools in the year 2021, and what they changed it to in 2018.
I thought it was
the
same thing.
So, no, do you have it? Yeah. So, and also another piece of supporting evidence to what everyone has already said so far of why we can't do a plan right now is if you look at this document, in just 2 years, the utilization rates have changed significantly from what they were. Now, which one of the schools on that piece of paper changed the most? Mill Hill. 32% change in 2 years on the increase. Doesn't even come close to any other school. Dwight would be next at 15, then Sherman, Riverfield, and Stratfield. Now, unless there's something in the water or something I don't understand about Mill Hill, in 2 years, 32% change in their utilization rate for that year 2021? How can we do a plan 4 years ahead of time, knowing the volatility, who moves in, who moves out? So I said, okay, well, maybe there's an idea. Maybe the town has a plan. Maybe the town knows in the next 4 years what's going to be built, what developments are going to be grown, what by school, by elementary zone. This is a little loud. So I went down to Town Hall. Can you please tell me what has been built by school zone in the last 3 years, added capacity? How many bedrooms by school zone have been added in this town by elementary school in the last 3 years? No, we don't have that. Okay, how about RTM district? At least that would give us an idea of what the town's plan is. Where are developments happening? What's growing? No, we don't have that. How about overall? Do you know how many bedrooms have been added in Fairfield in the last 3 years as a whole town? Nope. Don't know that either. So I'm a little confused about how we can do a plan 4 years ahead of time if we don't know what they're permitting. Because I just saw on Facebook today that a 92 unit right near Ludlow High School in the Riverfield school zone has been approved by town planning and zoning with 68 new 2 bedrooms in it. So these projections are going to be off too, right, if they come with students. So I want to know what the town plan is. What's the town plan for school utilization and racial imbalance through permitting, zoning, building, construction? Because if you're adding bedrooms where there's no school space, but you don't want to add school space, then how is that responsible town planning? Why are we the town planning board all of a sudden? And why are our students the town planning problem solvers? You know, for a long time, over a decade, our boards of education have been the town planners. They create problems And they say, well, you figure it out. You bus them out. You redistrict. Move schools. Blow through your principals. Well, I think that it's time for us to say, you know what? We voted. We put forward a 504. It's been on the waterfall for years. I don't know why there's any questions right now, to be honest with you. It's 3 years later. We voted. There are lots of reasons for a 504. Utilization, unknown growth, no town plan, flexibility that we might need in the future, mandates that might come down the line. Yeah, redistricting. Yeah, problem solving. But we need to be doing this together with town planning, with the Board of Finance, with the Board of Selectmen, with the RTM. And I think that the RTM should take this issue up. I think the RTM should be looking at an ordinance that says, hey, if there's no school space, no more bedrooms. Period. You can build where their space. Because what's their plan? We already voted. I'm not voting to change anything tonight, and I think that we really need to do a better job, I agree, at explaining why all of the reasons to our other town boards of why we feel this is necessary and why all along, for years now, other boards agree. So I appreciate all the information because we are smart and we know what we're doing. And the more we can provide, the more that would be helpful to educate others. And I think that we just need to all sit down together and have a talk, all of us, all the boards together. Thank you.
Can I look over on this side of the room to see if there's anybody that wishes to make a comment? You don't have to, but I don't want to be always looking in this direction and not realize somebody's raised their hand. Mrs. Vitale.
Really, how can I follow that? But I just want to... I want to thank my colleagues for the work that's done. I'm really in agreement. I think we voted. I think all the reasons given for a 504, they were valid when we voted 2 months ago. They're valid now. They were valid years ago. Nothing has changed except other town bodies changing. I'm not really looking for our board to react to that. I think we need to stay the course. We have a long-term facilities plan. We have a capital waterfall plan. We have a approved racial imbalance plan, which does include what a redistricting might look like. But again, we're not going to put that forward right now. It's irresponsible. It's not fair to the community. And I think those that have been around who are on other town boards know that. So I take Dr. Jones and the staff's recommendation. I think that we should go back to the Board of Selectmen and ask them to approve the language that the Board of Finance has put forward. I think many on this board have appreciated the 441 and wanted more information on what that would cost because we are willing to work with the town. We appreciate that there are financial considerations that need to be taken into consideration both for the town and for the school district because if a 504 does escalate as compared to what we've been planning for all along, that will affect other school projects. And I think at that point, this board needs to possibly revisit that. I hope that the costs are not as much as has been floating around, but we're not going to know that until the project team meets, the work is done, and we get more information. So I am not adverse to learning more about the 441. Like Mr. Issa said, I appreciate why other town boards would want that number. I think that many on this board have said they would like that number, not that they think that's the way we should go, but just to kind of get a more comprehensive view of the project. And that's really it. I don't think my opinion has not changed since the beginning. And I do agree about town planning and zoning. It's come up so many times in terms of racial imbalance, and it's frustrating. I share the frustration of my fellow board members. Thank you.
Do you mind if you want to follow up on
no,
something?
No, no.
Okay. Mrs. Pitko. Ms. Pitko.
I have not changed my mind. We need to build a 504. When we discussed the enrollment projections, I thought, and anybody who can watch the meeting, I thought I asked very valid questions about all the variables that were in their enrollment projections and what was not there. And my big concern, what got me into politics in this town, was 830G. I've lived in this town for almost 32 years. Anybody who drives around this town can tell you there is a massive amount of housing developments. And they're going in the Mill Hill area. They're going in, there's tons of families moving into Sherman, into Riverfield. I think that anyone would say that we don't need a 504 in that district, that we don't need to build extra school space, is being ignorant and unrealistic. This is only going to be a more populated town. And I listened to past board members who said, build it to a 504, because if you don't, in the long run, you're going to wish you had. We can't go back and change this mistake if we make it a 441. We can't. We have to build a 504. I can't even believe we're having a meeting to discuss this. This is ridiculous. We already decided this.
Ms. Leapy, you're all set at the moment? No, you don't need to spare. I just wanted to make. Mrs. Gerber, Mr. Acer, Mr. Peterson.
Well, I guess just one thing. So where do we stand with the Board of Selectmen and the First Selectmen and the questions? Because really, that's my biggest concern. And it's one reason why I really wanted to look at the whole 441 idea, just to kind of see if there was a really persuasive argument perhaps for that over a 504 or not, or both, because my biggest concern is that this project is going to be turned into like a ping pong ball, and it's going to be bouncing back and forth between the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Finance, with us asked to give plans or give feedback or have special meetings to discuss things that we already discussed. So do we have answers to every single question that the Board of Selectmen asked? And when are we going to, are we going to give them to them now so that they won't get it the night of the meeting, so that they can look at it and ask more questions if they need to, so that we can truly have one meeting where they look at the materials that they've already received, discuss it, ask more questions, and vote? Because otherwise we're just going to be floating along here, and Mill Hill has portables that need to be removed. This plan needs to move forward, and whether or not we end up going with a 441 or a 504 is a decision that we will be making a year from now, potentially, not now. We don't have enough information to be able to say with certainty that, you know, a 504 isn't going to cost $30 million or something like that. We don't know that now, so we need to have the work done. But before we do that, are we sure that the Board of Selectmen has every single thing they need? Because as long as they, if they change the bonding resolution, it goes onto the RTM. If they don't, we're bouncing back to the Board of Finance, I guess.
There has been more information given to the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Finance on this particular project than any project that we have advanced in the last decade. Ms. Cullen was the one that kept track of the questions they asked or the comments that they made, and in looking at them immediately after the session was over, I think both he and Mr. Acer looked at it and said, I think they already have most of these answers, but we will diligently go through the Q&A process and answer them again. And I suspect that they're working on those now, and we'll try and get them out as quick as possible. The last Q&A that was sent to them was worked on over vacation, which, as you know, is always a more time-consuming process when a lot of staff are not in their office. So that did not get to them, but just before their meeting. But the goal is to get it to them as quick as possible. I think out of this meeting, what I was hoping for is that Mr. Kiley asked a reasonable question. Is the Board of Education, do they have any policy issues that they think should be discussed among the board, or are most of these administrative questions? I said most of them administrative questions, but I would ask the board if they wanted to stay the course on 24 classrooms, 504 seats, or they wanted to look at a different number, so that I could report to them, we met, we talked about it, we are still supportive of that being the plan going forward. Let's get the information in next spring, depending on costs, we can then revisit it. And so the discussion tonight, I think, will allow us to say that. Whether the wording difference between the Board of Finance and the Board of Selectmen can get resolved by simply the Board of Selectmen adopting the wording of the Board of Finance resolution, That's hard for me to project. That really is in their court. I don't know that there's anything that we can do other than saying, okay, let's agree to a smaller school just to settle the issue and walk away from our principals and all the rest. I don't favor that, but nonetheless. So I think we're trying to get those answers so that the Board of Selectmen can't say we asked questions and did not get answers. Ms. Pitko, oh, wait a second. Mr. Acer, you were still up first, so can I get to Mr. Acer and then go to...
So while I respect everything that you just said, Mr. Chairman, I also very clearly took away from the Board of Selectmen meeting that they drew a line in the sand. They drew a line in the sand, and they told us that if we're going to come back to them with a 504, we need to tell them what our plan is. And if it's redistricting, they wanted a redistricting plan, which we've discussed tonight is not going to happen. So we can answer that whole blue piece of paper full of questions, but if we don't go back to them and tell them a definitive plan of what they want, we have to give them something, or they're going to go back to us and say, we want you to discuss this and have a plan, and then it's just going to be perpetually delayed, and then June of 2019 is going to sail. So I think what I'm saying is that we just need to very carefully, and maybe that's between you and the superintendent and the administrative staff, when we do go back to the Board of Selectmen, we have a very concise, well-put-together presentation that says, okay, we understand that you asked for a redistricting plan, but this is what we plan to do, and this is why we can't give you this exact thing that you're asking for, but this is what we're going to give you. And we've got to just give them something, and I wish I had the magic answer what that is tonight.
Actually, that's what I wanted to bring up. Can I just piggyback on that?
Please do.
And by all means, this is my personal view. I'm not speaking for anyone else on the board. I live two streets away. You're more than welcome to come down my street and see all the houses being built in the apartment complexes. Personally, I don't want to redistrict, but I don't want that conversation really to be brought up again until we break ground on Mill Hill. I am tired of everyone in this town being upset, thinking that every day we're going to do this right away. We have said over and over again, we can't do this really until Mill Hill is built up to a 504. So if we keep going around and around on that topic, we scare the residents of this town.
So I understand what you're saying, Mr. Acer, but I'll say that because of course I can't poll you on what you think about something because then it's a public meeting. I can poll the Democratic caucus just as you can poll the Republican caucus, just that we can't talk among ourselves. Of all of the redistricting plans that are out there, could we advance one of them in saying, there's no promises, but this is probably one that would represent the closest we could come to at the moment. And when I tested that thought, nobody liked that idea of testing or committing or promising any plan for exactly the reasons Ms. Pitko stated. And so even though they may ask that question a lot of times, unless five of you say, no, let's quickly put something together just to make them happy, I don't know that that's a successful approach. Wait a second. Ms. Peterson, do you mind if Mr. Acer? Okay.
Just a quick follow-up. In the Malone and McBroom presentation to the Board of Finance, they were asked and answered, stating that they took into consideration building and whatnot. And I think that gave the Board of Finance a false sense of security in their numbers, because I'm not convinced that Malone and McBroom really is even able to accurately predict the growth and construction level in town, especially after what Ms. Jacobson just mentioned, that she couldn't get solid numbers. So maybe we want to incorporate that in our...
Mr. Phil. Peterson. And I do remind you that we're coming up on the witching hour, if you will.
That's right. I'll be very brief. I want to second a lot of what Mr. Asa has said at this meeting and go back to an earlier point. I think that I've kind of gotten in a dust up with several of you over the past couple weeks over me holding a fairly extreme minority position about the messaging of this project. And I think a thing that Nick said earlier really hit home. All of this paperwork proves the demographics alone, the population issues alone, not redistricting, not racial balance, justify the 504 approach. And I think if we can funnel down our message to the town boards and say, if we leave everything else alone and focus just on projected population growth, this project is justified, then it sloughs off a lot of the concerns that the, I don't know how the Board of Selectmen is going to react, but they wanted, you know, they saw the Mill Hill project as part and parcel of a larger overall reorganization, which it may still be, but it doesn't need to be. We can justify it alone just on the population growth. You know, the one thing that I was going through the numbers just this afternoon of the Millennium McBroom presentation, the two school districts in town, elementary districts that are expected to see the largest percentage growth in population over the next 10 years are Mill Hill and Riverfield. And it's no, it's no coincidence that we're looking at Mill Hill, so I just wanted to.
Ms. Maxon-Connelly, followed by Ms. Jacobson.
Just one quick follow-up to Mr. Ace's comment. I'm not sure I quite agree with undercutting Malone and McBroom. I think they're a very respected firm that, you know, gave us that range of, you know, the, I can't remember the terms they used for the low, the high, and the middle where they landed, but they very, very well explained all the rationale behind how they came up with the numbers, even as we defer exactly to Mrs. Jacobson's point that there is an uncertainty here that they can't quite account for. But I don't agree with our taking a public stance of undercutting their ability to do their job. I think only in that because we know all the complications of this, and I couldn't agree more with Mr. Peterson of a simple message. And I would not want that message complicated by, and we don't believe Malone and McBroom's numbers. So I'll just say that.
Mrs. Jacobson, followed by Ms. Pitko.
Just two quick points following up on Jen's comment. I think Malone and McBroom were quite clear that they bake in real estate sales and past history, and that's baked into it. The unknown is future permitting. The unknown is what's coming now and into the future that they can possibly not know. And I think that's what we're seeing happen in the southwest side of town, is that there's a lot of development going on there, and that's adding to the problem. It's not helping the situation. So my last comment is that I know that the staff is wanting us to recommend to the Board of Selectmen to accept the Board of Finance's language in order to move, you know, and hopefully they take that and then move it to the RTM. The only issue that I have with that is, since we have already spoken that a 378 would practically be negligent to this district and to this town, personally, if I were going to speak to Mr. Kiley or Mr. Tetro, my own view would be take out the 378.
It has to go back to the Board of Finance.
That's just my feel. I'm just saying, as long as it's in there, it's going to be looked at. And we have, just so everyone is clear, and the public is clear, and everyone is clear, we're not going to approve a 378. So that is my only, I know you don't want to send it back to the Board of Finance, I just want to be clear, we're not going to approve a 378.
So I did report to the Board of Selectmen that it is highly unlikely that the Board of Education would approve a school that small. I did not want to use some of the language that perhaps we've used here tonight with the advantage of not having TV cameras here and all the rest. And so to move it along, I personally would not want to argue that point. Let the building committee make that assessment and move on. Can I get the last comment from Ms. Pitko? And I want to summarize where we are.
Mr. Dwyer, I have one brief comment follow-up.
Tingo.
Mrs. Maxon-Connelly.
I just want to clarify. Mrs. Jacobson said that we're not recommending anything to the Board of Education regarding the Board of Finance amendment. That's their issue. We are making no recommendations about that. We are simply saying you have the ed specs that we approve. That's the end of our, I mean, we answer questions, but that's the end of our role. That's what I wanted to clarify. So we have nothing to do with that motion.
Ms. Pitko.
I had many questions for the consultants, and one of the questions I asked was about their projections for housing developments in 830G, and they said to us that was not in their projections. Now, I can't say for what misleading they said, but I also, one of the many things I asked them was, did they account for us having to do possibly universal pre-K in 2022? Adding a whole nother grade level to our schools would be an issue, and we would not have the room, even at this rate. Our utilization would be an issue.
Yeah. So here's where I think we stand. And I want to say it this way so that we can make sure when the superintendent reports the results of this conversation, and you'll see that memo before it goes out, that this board is still committed to using 24 classrooms and 504 seats as a planning principle that has been longstanding, and we want to do that for Mill Hill. For good and just reasons, and some of the information that is here will help us, I think, fashion that good and just reasons, we think the demographics support that. That number two, that for equally good and just reasons, as much as we appreciate their desire to know what the future lies in a variety of related subjects, it's premature and it would be unethical, it would be whatever, to entertain those discussions. I will repeat, or Jennifer will repeat, if as the vice chair she is there, that we appreciate the Board of Finance wanting to know what the 378 school is, and fine if you want to know that, but it's unlikely that the Board of Ed would go down that path. But we don't want to play with that number and risk having to go back to the Board of Finance. That our simple approach is ask the Board of Selectmen to pass the resolution that the Board of Finance that allows the planning to go forward, let the building committee come back with the information that the town really is looking for to say, can we afford 24 classrooms or not? And if we can't, then we'll address that next spring when the information is known. Is there anything else that is, in simplifying the message, is there anything else that should be quickly stated to them? Anything here going around the table? Ms. Pitko.
Well, I want to go back to the point that Mr. Asa made about redistricting. I think the message needs to be clear to them that we are not addressing that topic until Mill Hill breaks ground. We can't. In good faith, do not know what the projections will be in 2 years from now as the town changes.
Fair enough. Clarity that's our viewpoint, and you can ask the question as often as you want, but that's still our viewpoint. Anybody else have something that they want to summarize? That, and again, the memo will be put together, the results of this conversation, we'll share it with the board, so if in the meantime you come up with something, feel free to address it. Last comment.
When's this anticipated to go before the Board of Selectmen again?
They have, I think the next meeting is May 3rd.
May 3rd's the site visit for Mill Hill proposed. We haven't got confirmation of that yet, but that's what I heard from the town hall.
I think they canceled the first and moved it to the third. I think I saw an email about that. So anyways, it's that first week of May, which is their next official meeting. I have no commitment from the first selectman as to when they will put it on as a voting item. But the next time they'll be talking about it is that first meeting in May.
Okay, so we should anticipate this memo this week?
Yes.
Okay.
Because our superintendent has nothing to do but.
Well, I asked that realistically, because there's a lot that has to be done.
It has to get done.
Yeah, can we?
Can I say last comment so that we don't keep our facilitator waiting?
Can we urge or request that it be put on the next meeting as a voting item? I mean, it's up to them ultimately to decide if they want to do that, but why can't we say, we would urge you for you to put this on as a vote? It's plenty of time.
I have been addressing that same question with a variety of leaders about how quickly we need to get it on as a voting item, but I've done that privately rather than publicly. Any other last comments? If seeing none, can I have a motion for adjournment? Mrs. Gerber, Mrs. Vitale, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Raise your hand. Unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you.